Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my dog psychology radio show. My name's Dale McCluskey. And on this show, this is part four of Finding Your Identity. This series of shows are my way of honoring God and talking about another level here to this issue with dogs and with pets, specifically dogs. And this is meant to kind of dovetail into the Christmas season and really show what it's all about, really show not just Christmas but identity as well, as to why people are struggling so much to find answers. What I show is that it's relational. Dogs are relational beings, therefore it's a opportunity, it's a actually glimpse into our identity. And because we are creating God's image, God is all over this. There's no way around it. If you're thinking perhaps that you're going to find answers here as to why people do the things they do, and people are so upset and angry and there's so much divisiveness going on, I'm going to talk about that on today's show, because we're going to go into some bumpy ground here, and this is going to be kind of a little bit of a rough show, because I'm going to be talking about the issue of idolatry and why really that's the overriding issue here as to why people are really being turned over to this idea that you can have your cake and eat it too, that you don't have to change how you think. And beyond that, I'm going to expose the real motives here, people. People will get very, very upset when you start to show that these narratives that people are trying to promote as, you know, positive reward-based and all this about the science of dog training, why it's based on idolatry. It's not based on truth at all. And the people promoting it, a lot of them actually have very much a viewpoint that goes totally against dogs as relational beings. That's why they'll say certain things. But if you really look at what they say and start to identify that there's more going on here, it's going to make more sense. And perhaps it'll, point you towards, seeking a right relationship, not just with dogs, but something bigger. And I say something bigger, I'm talking about God, and that perhaps you will kind of open your mind and your heart up to a greater reality. And so by getting into this issue of idolatry and identity, this is why so many people are suffering from a identity crisis, why they're because they're not in right relationship. And dogs can become idols. I mean, they can become a bad thing for people if you're not recognizing that, relationally, where animals, their status, we talk about status here, but in terms of leadership and about right thinking. And not just that, but in terms of at this relational level, how your thinking can really get us into a lot of trouble if we're engaged in the mirroring process. And this is where idolatry comes online here, people who are are basically engaged in a type of self-worship through the dog relationship. And here I'm going to refer to, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to define idolatry. So what is idolatry? You go into, gutquestions.org, into idolatry here. I'm going to read this. I don't, to explain this to people. But basically idolatry, refers to the worship of idols or excessive devotion to or reverence for some person or thing. An idol is anything that replaces the one true God. The most prevalent form of idolatry in Bible times was the worship of images that were thought to embody the various pagan deities. Now, here's the thing about, I talk about in the image of God. So therefore, we're created in His image. Therefore, He established the parameters, so to speak, as to what the relationship, defining the relationship. So therefore, there's a natural desire to worship. And this is part of, you know, if we're not seeking God, if we're not in right relationship with God, if we're not mirroring Him through everything else, then something's going to take that place. We're going to be seeking identity and fulfillment through other things. I mean, that is the basic concept here. This is what, if you look at not just dogs, but you talk about it can take place in other forms. For me, it was my job as a police canine officer. That was my identity. That's where I put my identity in. I mean, that's how I defined who I am through what I did. And so, of course, when my job went away, I suffered from an identity crisis very quickly. And that's what happens. When your identity is challenged, then you're going to suffer from identity crisis. That's why there's so much anger. If you want to know why there's so much anger with people who are committing or engaged in idolatry with dogs and using law behavioralists, etc., why there's so much anger is because their identity is being challenged. It's not just this thing about evidence. It has nothing to do with evidence at all or the science of dog training. It's about identity. And so, because that's why there can never be a normal conversation regarding the issues, because it's not about science at all, okay? It's idolatry. And so, because it's relational, okay? That's the thing. It's a relational issue because of the type of connection that's happening and what's being established. So, therefore, it's not what people think it is. That's just another false narrative. Just so people know, people want to know, I'll put it right out there, that's what's going on. And so, therefore, there's no sense. That's why I won't argue and go on and debate with people at a certain level, because, you know, once you understand it's really about idolatry, it's about identity, you're wasting your time. You're not, there's no real discussion, there's no real honesty here. In fact, there's it's morally bankrupt, okay, because the people doing this are not being honest with themselves. They're, it's self-love. It's not about, that's why this other narrative about it being loving dogs or loving towards dogs or positive, well, that's a false narrative. That's why dogs get, if you really look at what I show, that's why dogs are devalued. Okay, this is why dogs end up at shelters, given up on, medicated by those who are engaged in this type of idolatry, because it's about identity. So when, you know, the dogs don't meet the person's needs through their identity, through this type of self-worship, they're going to be devalued, because if the person was to, if people were to recognize and change how they think through what I show, through right relationship, through leadership, they'd have to tear that idol down. Okay, they'd have to actually change how they think. It couldn't be about them anymore. Can't it be about them? It has to be about the needs of another. Okay, you really pay attention here, because if you really want to know answers here as to why there's so much, hostility, and this is so twisted, it's because people are not stepping back far enough to see what's really happening. Okay, beyond all these type of arguments and debates, it's idolatry. And so people who are engaged, that's why the idolatry represents, there's a natural tendency to want to demonize others or try to bring other people into agreement with it, because you're into a spiritual issue here. So people who engage in idolatry have a and they're not going to realize it, because I'm going to talk about this on today's show too. There's also a turning over to it. Okay, so there's a confusion, there's delusion, there's a turning over to it, and so because people are absolutely they're in rebellion, okay, to nature and to the truth, and so because they're not in right relationship. But it all points back to God. Okay, if you look at, I guarantee you, if you look at a person's life who is engaged in idolatry at this level, you're going to see a messy relationship even at the human level. That's why you see people, marriages be in trouble, relationship with other people be in trouble, and all this, because it's not just specific that way. If you think one way, you'll be thinking that it's going to spill over into all other areas. That's just how it works. This is why if you read my book, I talk about permissive parenting being, through the roof, you know, in this culture, in this day and age, and why there's so much narcissism. And we're going to get into this, end times thing about God points to certain conditions that are happening, certain attitudes that are going to be prevalent. He identifies that, the type of self-love, the type of self-worship. So you're seeing all the trademarks, but so if you look at the issue of our relationship with our pets, and I'm talking specifically here with dogs, it's very interesting because how dogs connect to us, they share a real special connection with us through nature. You can actually go deeper. There's depth to this relationship in such a way that you can see the twists and turns. You can see how things play out, which I believe are not, it's not a accident or coincidence. It's very profound. In fact, it really will, you know, if you look at it, it's going to open your eyes up to say, wow, that's very, very interesting how this is playing out. And people, that's why you see people who are highly educated. Now, I start talking about this issue with motives that underpin response. I start getting into the scripting problem and why so many people can't see it. They can't figure it out. Well, number one, because I'm a nobody, okay? And I believe God uses people, not just with me, but he uses people who are nobodies that way. He doesn't use the proud people. And don't get me wrong, I've had issues and continue to struggle at times with pride and different things. I'm not perfect. I want to qualify this, that I'm not coming off here judgmental. I don't want to come off judgmental. I've been down those roads. I continue to have my own personal struggles at times. But here's the difference. I don't deny who Christ is. Okay, I'm not trying to, you know, repackage him up to so that I can have my cake and eat it too. You know, if I'm struggling or fallen, then I'm going to know how, you know, just the level of separation, because I'm not denying him. I'm not denying his word. I'm not denying who he is. You know, I'm pointing towards him. I'm saying, okay, here's the issue, or here's my issue. I need to get, you know, back to him. I need to, you know, it's about restoration. I need to repent and turn towards him and you know, reestablish my identity. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm, you know, once you're saved, you're in right relationship, and you're, you know, you're walking towards Christ. There's no, you know, you shouldn't be insecure about that. I mean, God is love, but he's also holy. That's the thing, people look at sin, this issue of sin, or start making arguments about God is love. Therefore, you know, we can do what we want. I mean, God's love is going to accept us for who we are, even if we're not in right relationship. That's not true. I mean, God's holy, too, so he judges sin. Does that make him a bad person? No. In fact, you know, God is, you know, he's holy, he's loving. But if we're not in right relationship, we're going to have ideas about God. We're going to judge him and say, well, he's not fair. He's, you know, bad things happen, all these different things. But you're totally, again, you're looking at it from a fallen point of view. I mean, not in right relationship to begin with. And deep down, you know, there's going to be a trade-off. If you turn your life over to Christ, or start dropping walls, you're going to be trade-off. You've got to give up your kingdom. I mean, you're building your kingdom here on this earth, and your identity secure in something else. You're going to suffer from an identity crisis, but in a good way. I mean, it's not going to be a bad identity crisis. You're going to, you know, find who you really are. It's going to totally change how you think. But oftentimes we think that represents losing, not winning, but it's actually winning. You know, surrender is about victory. It's not about defeat, but it's all about perspective. But getting back to this issue of, you know, defining idolatry, it's about investing in or worshiping other things other than God. And another example is how this can play out. You look at King Solomon, you know, and Solomon, you know, wrote a lot of the Proverbs. So if you go into the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, and the, you know, you get scriptures of passages of wisdom. I mean, he's the most wise king that ever lived. He started off good. I mean, he actually, his prayer was, Lord, don't, you know, give me wisdom. I don't care about things. Just give me, give me wisdom. Well, God blessed him immensely. He's still got vast amounts of wealth, and he's really set up. And things were good for a while, but again, just like anything, we're fallen. If we're not careful as to, our identity, and really making sure that we're in right relationship to God first, and then all those things will fall into the proper place. But God had warned him, be careful. Don't marry foreign women. Don't go down that road. Well, he went and did the thing God told him not to do, and that led his heart away from God. He suffered again. A identity crisis set in because he started worshiping foreign gods through all these women that he was, bringing into his kingdom, aligned with. And that was his fall. He started to falter because of that. And so that can happen. That's the thing about things in this world and stuff and materialism. If we're not filling our life and securing our identity through God, then it's going to go somewhere else. But again, idolatry represents a worship of other things, of placing our identity in something else. And throughout the Bible, God speaks about, idolatry a lot. He talks about, Israel's time back in the Old Testament. Many of them chased after other gods, idols that they created from their hands. And ultimately, it brought about, destruction. Very destructive. Idolatry, and that's the thing to understand, idolatry always ends in a bad place. It leads you down into a place of darkness. It represents confusion. So we really talk about, this issue about turning over to. I'm going to go into some scripture about that. When people refuse to acknowledge the truth, then they're turned over to that which is going to take them into that place of a delusion. And again, it brings on frustration, anger, hatred, and because, that's what it is. It's not about right relationship at all. So I'm going to read an article here, getting into this thing about dogs today, about, idolatry through our pets. This lady, her name is Julie Royce, R-O-Y-S. This article she wrote back in 2012. It's on the internet. If you type in "Animal Rights" by Julie Royce, and the title of the article is "America's Growing Pet Centrism, a Form of Idolatry." And she's asking the question, but she's writing the article. I'm going to read some of this article. I'm going to just talk a little bit about this, because she's right on the money here. She talks about money. If you want to identify what your idolatry is or what your idol is, follow the money trail and where you spend your investor time into. That's how you identify what matters to you. And it could be a form of idolatry, and that goes with pets. She says here, starts off in her article, now, would you pay $25,000 to save your pet? 2 years ago, Mike Orforth did. The Florida's man's 10-year-old child was diagnosed with lymphoma. So Orforth shelled out thousands for chemotherapy, then drove the dog to North Carolina, where she received a bone marrow transplant. She says, in a world where 925 million people go hungry, it's unfathomable to me that someone would go to such lengths to save a pet. Yet extravagant spending on pets has become increasingly common. In just the past 6 years, U.S. consumer spending on veterinary care has increased from just over $9 billion a year to a whopping $13.5 billion. Add in food and other pet products, and we Americans spend $51 billion a year on our pet companions. But it gets worse. Last year, the Associated Press and PetSide polled 1,000 pet owners asking who they dumped first, their significant other or the pet. Surprising, 14% said they'd dump their human partner before they give up their furry or perhaps feathered friend. This misplaced priority isn't confined to pets, though. Every year, the Humane Society of the United States spends more than $120 million promoting its animal welfare agenda. This includes encouraging churches to start animal protection ministries and lobbying legislators to enact laws requiring bigger cages for chickens. Don't get me wrong, I love animals and own two dogs from a rescue shelter. I don't support assigning them worth and priority they simply don't have, shouldn't have. Yet this is what results from society, and some Christians form the unique place humans have in the world. Animals are not our brothers and sisters, as one church denomination's official statement on animals declares. They are creatures without a soul and devoid of God's image. Yes, we should care for them, but when they begin to trump human relationships, and consume large portions of our time and resources, they're likely to become idols. And, you know, this is, you know, all she does here is mimic my point I'm making, which he, you know, makes it very clear, very concise. And, you know, you're asked a question because you see this. You see people who, and I've encountered many, many times, you know, especially you'll even see it in animal rescue. Many people engage in animal rescue, not all, but there's a lot, who are engaged in this type of idolatry. I mean, they're not, this is why, you know, when, and I've encountered this here even in Florida, that, you know, they're into it based on self. It's not based on truly, helping that way which represents right relationship. It's not about, you know, we talk about the twists and turns here, because upon the surface, it doesn't appear to be a bad thing, right? Our caring for animals. But it gets to a point of how we're investing our time and our resources and to such a level that, and I'll go further here to say about not coming into right relationship, because there's another, you know, issue here when you look at people's motives, and I talk about how it is with so many dogs, even though people are involved in animal rescue, but a lot of these dogs end up still being destroyed because they're not promoting leadership, because they can't, because they're not thinking properly, okay? They're engaged in idolatry. So therefore, what you'll see is you'll see them focused on the physical needs of the dog. Dogs are come from a bad situations. And don't get me wrong, that's a terrible thing. I'm not diminishing that whatsoever. And this is the problem when you talk about, even in this article, she's saying about loving pets. She has two dogs. However, she's still calling out this issue of idolatry because it's not about right relationships. So many people who are engaged in idolatry want to, because they're not being honest with themselves, they want to try to shove this off or try to inflame or go after or attack anyone who challenges what they're doing. That's the problem here, is that they don't want to be challenged. Okay, they because again, you want to identify why such a problem is again the actions and words don't line up. Because again, when I was engaged in trying to help some people here at Animal Rescue in Florida, they wouldn't listen. Okay, dogs came to me, I got them turned around, and the people involved in this group, they knew. I mean, I told them very clearly what they need to continue to do. Next thing you know, these dogs are back out of control again. And they spent, I'm talking thousands of dollars on the physical needs of dogs. And, you know, paying me to get them rehab. And don't get me wrong, for me, it's not just about making money whatsoever. I mean, I have this ethical thing. This is why when the dogs went back and immediately I started getting all these phone calls, these dogs are starting to get out of control again. They were not, even though they had all the right information, told over and over what they need to do, they refused to do it. Okay, and I'm talking about the people in this rescue group. In fact, such a culture is created that it was, you know, the comment one of these people made about saying, well, she admitted they end up killing these dogs. A lot of them end up being destroyed, you know, as these dogs go into the home environment because they don't promote leadership at all. It's all idolatry. It's all about the person. It's about emotion. It's not about truly coming in the right relationship. But the problem is, you know, you can tell when it's idolatry, is the people, they have all the information, but they won't listen, okay? That's you talk about narcissism, you talk about self, and that's how you can tell, is the people spend more time talking than they do listening. They won't, and you talk about people that have experts, that can actually show. Everything was videoed. I did all, you know, everything was laid out, but they still refused to do it. So I cut off ties from this group because of the same thing. Is why, you know, my question is, why are you involved in you know, animal rescue if you're not going to truly engage in, you know, meeting a dog's needs fully, relationally? Because a dog's relational needs are just as important as their needs for food and water. I mean, you can, you know, supply that need level and still end up the dog being destroyed, because this is why the behavior issues come from, because people are not coming in the right relationship. They're relational beings. But again, if it's all about yourself, right, and that's all you care about, is how the dog can meet your needs, then, you know, why are you going to care, you know, the dog starts getting out of control? It's just very easy to blame the dog, you know, get rid of the dog, medicate the dog, and then move on to the next one. Because it's all about yourself. It's not about truly something more. So it's not this narrative. That's why I say this narrative is a total false one. So dogs, it's a culture of this, because it's nothing more than idolatry. It really is. And don't get me wrong, people I help, you know, I care about helping people. And again, how I look at the relationship, dogs are in our life for a reason. I mean, they're you know, if we're in right relationship, having a pet, there's nothing wrong with having a pet. You know, I'm not suggesting for a second that people shouldn't own dogs. But what I'm suggesting is, destroying dogs every year in America, trying to promote this ideology, which is basically represents idolatry, then what are we doing? We're living, we're not treating these dogs or meeting their needs that way. So most of the narratives that put out there are based on a lie. This is why when I talk about this response and how it doesn't line up, and I get into this, I show it. I'm probably one of the only trainers to break this ideology down and show how problematic it is. Well, the reason people aren't, even balance trainers aren't going to accept what I say, is because it forces a trade-off. Yeah, it would bring the focus onto the owner in a way that people don't want, because they have to change how they think. Okay, that's the problem. People don't want it because they're engaged in idolatry. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's become about self. It's become about, it's not about, you know, the needs of another. And so, again, you look at the attitudes about narcissism, and now, you know, it's funny because someone said, we've gotten so twisted, we think narcissism is some form of a self-confidence. You know what I'm saying? It's so ridiculous. But it all comes out in the end. That's the thing to understand. You know, regardless of what people think about what I say, you know, look at the amount of dogs being killed every year in North America, even while this ideology is becoming more popular, right? People are totally sold out to it. In fact, they're trying to find any way to blame the dog for behavior problems, even when the truth is right there. But you see, it's not about the truth. But again, getting in this article, you know, she goes on about the vast amounts of money that's spent on dogs, even while people go hungry. And this is why there was a study, and again, it was the same type of thing she said about, you know, the percentage of people that give up on their spouses before they would their animals. That's very common. There was another, you know, thing that a study came out, say, if you had a choice between, you saw a dog drowning and a person drowning, who would you save? You know, a lot of people said they'd save the dog. Well, again, that just exposes this issue of idolatry, because they're identifying with the dog through themselves that way. You understand? So they don't identify with the person because they don't care about people that way. They care about themselves, but they identify through the dog, and that's why I say it's idolatry. That's why people who say that are engaged in that type of thinking. So anyway, I'm getting a countdown, so we'll continue this discussion on idolatry in my next show. I'm going to go into some of the things about the turning over process. I know this is kind of a difficult discussion for people. I don't want to come off, you know, like I'm trying to judge everybody here. However, we have to face the truth, because the thing to understand, the truth isn't going anywhere. It's right where you left it. It's going to be right where you left it until we come to some realization of this relational issue and, you know, these narratives and what dogs really need. We're never going to fix the big picture. So Anyway, thanks for joining me on this show, and I encourage you to check out the next one. Have a great day.